Father, again, we open this book and we thank you for the privilege, the Lord, to be here today. And we pray somehow or another that you'd get glory out of all that's said and done in this hour. I pray you'd bless as we look into the Word of God and help us with the subject. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have your Bibles. Please turn with me over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I want to read the first five verses. Then I want to go to Ephesians and read a couple of verses, and then I'll give you the subject title at that time. And this is a very, very important subject tonight, or this morning, and I spent a lot of time on to it, and I hope and pray it will be an enlightened subject to you because of the title of the message. In chapter 1 of John, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Watch, there was the Word. And the Word was with God. Now, the word "with" there means it was a companion of or to accompany. Not only was the Word, but there was a Word that accompanied God. And it's also a Word. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was again in with God. Now, verse 3, all things are made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. Now, verse 1 and verse 14 helps me understand verse 1. In the beginning, he said, in the beginning was the Word. Now, in verse 14, he said, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, as I look in verse 14, verse 17 tells me who this Word is. You see, again, he said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Verse 10 also tells me the power that this person had, who is the Word, who is Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Now, if you look with me in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9, you'll find that Paul says, and he says in verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches of Christ. A lot of things you can know about Christ, but there are some things that's unsearchable. And it takes more than just casual knowledge to know. It takes studying to know, and the Holy Spirit helps us. And of course, you couldn't even study this before Jesus came. Verse 9 says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Back in verse 3, he said, how that by relation of the mystery known unto me the mystery as it I wrote for a few words. He talks about this mystery that he had. He could understand the knowledge in verse 4 of the mystery of Christ. In other ages, what made it, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now in 9, he said, God has given him to make all men see what is this fellowship of the mystery, from the beginning of the world had been hid in God. Notice, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, that's an important phrase. Somebody said, well, God created things. Yeah, another place, Jesus Christ created things. And said, well, now, which one did it? Well, both are God. In this phrase, it said it's by God, and He did it, notice, by Jesus Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to, try to explain to you today that there's a lot of problems about trying to see where our origins come from. There's debate more now so than ever. The public schools have to teach evolution, they say. Teachers say it's mandatory, you have to teach evolution. And yet on the other hand, you cannot take and go and have equal time to teach the study of what would be called the study of design and order. They have to teach evolution, but they can't teach design and order. Now, the reason for that is because they say church separates church and state. The main reason is that they don't believe in God to start with. And that's the reason they're trying to pray. And Satan's got a toehold through that system to, in turn, to try to take people further away from God. So I'm going to speak to you this morning on this subject. Evolution destroys biblical faith. And I'll prove it to you if you listen to me. Evolution. I thought about tonight, and God wouldn't let me away to do this morning. Evolution destroys biblical faith. Now, some people say, well, nowadays if we're light enough, you can believe in God and evolution. No, you can't. Amen. You can't, because the origin of these two are separate. If you look at the origin of things through evolution, that eliminates God. If you look at the origin by God, that eliminates evolution. Now, this is a very controversial subject, but it's a subject we need to know, because not much been said in churches today about this subject. And people say, well, just believe both. Don't raise any problems with this thing. We better start raising some problems, because anything that takes away from God is not worth having to be involved in, and we should be teaching against it. Now, I can't go to the school and teach this, but at the same time, what would be wrong with that? What would be wrong if you have a subject of evolution and it's going to be taught, or the subject of God, or at least design and order? Looks like both of these would be in the field of science, design and order, if you wanted to look at it that way. But at the same time, isn't it amazing, they were forced to teach evolution, but were not allowed design and order to be taught. Now, the amazing, and I have to hurry along to get in this, because it seems like we get further and further to 12 o'clock. When you get close to 12 o'clock, I get people looking at their watches, and that distracts me. But anyhow, evolution, listen to me, is a stumbling block to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, how? The question could be asked. How? Many people give evolution as an excuse of why they do not believe or trust the biblical account of Jesus' life. Many people, in other words, evolution has convinced them that the Bible is not true, they say, so therefore they have to go with what has been studied. And they say, well, you just want to be a theory, now it's become a fact, and they have to teach as a fact in school, and I'll tell you where that came from. It's like they're changing the Word of God. They changed the definition of theory to bring this about, and showing the theory can become a fact if you use it long enough, even though you can't prove it. So here, many religious people and their leaders have been indoctrinated to believe evolution is a factual science. Now, I believe in science. I believe it all my heart. I believe in chemical reactions. I've used those through the years. And when I was in school science years ago, I even found, you ever tell the story about, I used to use some chemical things to do in Bible lessons in the early days. And one day, like to blow a hole in the ceiling of the house. But anyhow, it was like absent-minded professor. But I believe in science, and I believe in chemical reaction. I believe this in science of computer, amazing thing of what we've seen in our particular day. I believe in science and technology. Certainly believe in science of different fields of chemical reactions. I believe in the science as far as it has to do with medicine and those things. They're a tremendous science of studying, and you can learn, and we have gained a lot of things because people had the ability to go into these fields and excel there. But let me tell you, when people talk about origins and things of the past where you cannot analyze, they have stepped outside of the field of science as used in everyday life. When you can't go back and observe things hundreds of thousands of years ago, that's not science, that's theory. Because you can prove science. But now there's things they say in science you can't prove, but there's other, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. Evolution is a belief about the past, and that's not science unless you can observe and do the things that science requires of that of the past. Now, evolution sets forth that this universe and all life arose by material causes. Here they say God has not given any place in the origin of anything. You have to leave him out, because that when they say you have to leave him out, they're saying he don't exist. Well, no, that's not so, some say. Well, if he don't exist, why leave him out? So you see, double talk, you got to understand. We live in an age today, people use big words and fascinate us with them, but a lot of times they do it to lose us in what they're saying. So again, this teaching has intensified in our schools and media in our day. These people believe that scientists have proven that all forms of life have arose through the evolution process of death and struggle. That is, we start low and nothing about, and through the hundreds of millions of years we have developed to a higher form. You know, now, years later, here we are. The highest form there is, and we're looking now, we're going to get higher, and even some think one time we end up in eternity as far as our own efforts and so forth. But since many of 10, and many of these people are religious, but since many of these 10 to feel good about yourself religious service rather than belonging to a Bible-believing church that has no God, to remind them about God, they have no godly input about the origins of life. Now, I'm going to use some things that's been said for both. Someone said, well, you won't use what's been documented. Yes, I will. I'm going to do it right now. I want you to listen for a few minutes in this. And these are some things that come out of some of their books. It said, most evolution scientists, the media, and the average public school textbook today presents atheistic evolution as a fact. Students are taught that the universe and all life arose strictly material causes. God has not given a place in the origin of anything. Over the years, the teaching of evolution has intensified in our school system and through the media so much that the average person believes that scientists have proved that the earth is billions of years old and that the different forms of life arose through an evolutionary process of death and struggle from the lowest form to the highest form. And then they say, for instance, in 1993, 19 years ago, they quote from the Natural History magazine. And it says, and I quote, as for the claim that evolution is unproved theory, that's nonsense. Evolution is a fact, they write, established with the same degree of confidence as our theory of disease and atomic theory of matter. Yes, there is lively debate about the particular evolutionary mechanism that causes particular changes. But the existence of evolutionary change is not in doubt. Our own bodies provide walking evidence, unquote. Then a fellow by the name of Richard Lewontin of Harvey, he was a Harvard geneticist, he says, as he gives insight about this, he said, we take the side of science in spite of the absurdity of some of its constructs, in spite of its failure to fulfill many of its extravagant promises of health and life, in spite of the tolerance of the scientific community for substantiated just-so stories, because we have a prior commitment, a commitment to materialize. It's not that methods and institutions of science somehow compel us to accept the material explanation of the phenomenal world, but on the contrary, we are forced by our prior adherence to material causes to create. I get tired of even reading stuff like that. I mean, because it's just a bunch of words. It's big words trying to explain something. And he goes on, and he says, moreover, that materialism is absolute, for we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. In 1998, the prestigious National Academics of Science made a book available to public schools and colleges to teach teachers, to help teachers indoctrinate students in evolution. In this book, they say the theory of evolution explains how life and earth has changed in scientific terms. Theory does not mean guess or hunch. They've changed now. They understand, people understand what theory is. So now they come to change words. That's what they're doing with the Word of God today, too. They're taking words that God inspired and say, oh, it can mean this, and it can mean that, and it can mean this, and mean that, or we give it this, and we give it that. Next thing you know, what God said is way yonder somewhere or another. And so here's another attack to that at this time. They said that hunch, as it does every day, it doesn't mean guess or hunch as it does everyday uses. Scientists' theories and explanation of natural phenomena build up logically from testable observation and hypothesis. Biological solution, biological evolution is the best scientific explanation we have for the erroneous range of observation about the living world. Scientists, most of us use the word fact to describe an observation, but scientists can also use fact to mean something that has been tested or observed so many times and that there's no longer a compelling reason to keep testing or looking for the examples. The occurrence of evolution is the sense of a fact. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, I looked up this. The word theory means this, a speculative idea or plan as to how something might be done, a mental viewing, contemplation of something. The word fact means the state of things as they are, reality, actuality, truth as a distinct from fancy, to check the accuracy of one's facts. Facts are that which can be proved. So now they have the word theory in the dictionary, and then they have synonym theory. And this is what they say about that it don't necessarily mean theory when you do it so long that it becomes a thing that you use to try to tell how things are in life. It says, theory, the synonym theory as compared, and I'm reading right from the dictionary, as compared here implies considerable evidence in support of a formulated general principle explaining the operation of certain phenomena. The theory of evolution. Hypothesis implies an adequate of evidence in support of an explanation that is tended to infer, often as a basis for further experience. In other words, it's a fact, they come to a point, but they need further explanation, but up to now it's a fact, so they still go ahead and teach it evolution. All right, let's look at that a minute. Let's suppose, theoretically, I'd say to you, I'm going to leave this afternoon and go to Grandfather's Mountain tomorrow, and I'm going to jump off. Theoretically, I'm moving through the air. theoretically, I'm flying. No, I'm not. There's nothing theoretical about it. If you're going to fly, you're going to have design and order. If you jump off a grandfather's mountain, the fact is you're going to fall to the earth fast because of gravitational pull. That's a fact. It's not a theory. They say, oh, no, but you're traveling through. Oh, okay, so since I'm traveling through air, though I jump off, then my theory becomes a fact because I'm actually flying. No, I'm actually falling. Amen? And by the way, falling is not flying. I may be passing through the air, but falling is not flying. If I would jump out of an airplane, falling is not flying. So it makes sense to me to understand theory and fact. I don't think I'm that dumb. I don't think I'm that dumb. You've got to change. See, everybody's getting a lot smarter now, so the smart ones got to get smarter and start giving. Now, if you say this long enough, people will believe it. People actually begin to believe it. So the more evolutionary ideas pervade the culture, the more a person's whole way of thinking will change. For them, right and wrong, ladies and gentlemen, will be determined that they determine what they themselves believe, if they can get away with it. So I'm saying to you that when we think about evolution, when we think about the Bible, we have to have the correct information for these things. That's all there is to it. People are not stupid today. People are intellectual. When you think about Hitler, Hitler wasn't a silly man. He was a deranged man, I believe. But what he did, some even say that he was a genius. But he was warped in his thinking because he had the thought that he can consistently apply what he believed about origins and lead to a higher, better generation. This leads to the death of millions of people. Abortions today, ladies and gentlemen, are not intellectual in fear. These are some smart women and men who are talking about these things. But you see, they are just being consistent with what they think, the foundation they ultimately lay, they have in their thinking, and they won't change that. If they did, the Bible could make them see the difference. But what has happened is that the thinking of a generation, people have gradually changed so that they don't think it's Christian framework anymore. They presuppose about things that's different. They approach life with a different philosophy, and therefore their action is different. If you have a different philosophy than God has, and you go human with humanistic philosophy, then abortion sounds good. School violence, we got to deal with it, but it's not all that bad. Child abuse, sexual perversion, and these things go on. You see, it's sin that personifies itself in people's life, but we like to call it other things. So I have one point that I want to get across this morning. Just one point. And I got a lot of information on that one point, but I got one point. And that's this. Think with me just a moment. The moral culture abandons God's word, and we're there today. Just because everybody gets up every Sunday morning and says they're preaching the Bible, if they're not preaching the right Bible, they're not preaching the Bible. I don't care who they are. There's something that you lose something every time you try to change words. So the moral culture abandons God's word by taking it out of context, the more the evolution philosophy will be accepted, and it's been accepted now more so than ever when I was. In fact, when we came to this town, there was a lot of godly teachers in this town, had to teach evolution, they refused to do it, and the county could not do anything about it. But now they say you have to do it. Teachers say you have to. It's mandatory. You have to teach that. And in a class when it comes to the field of science. These people think and attitudes have been changed. There's no basis of what is right and wrong with the humanistic manifesto. In other words, what can stop one from doing what they do except the laws of man if there's no God? And if it's the laws of men, depending on what culture you're in, they can change those laws. And that's what's happening. We're seeing our culture different than, and even though 50, 60, 70 years ago, but the laws have been changed now to meet the culture now, which is further from God. Now, with no guidelines to follow, the results of the abortion, the results are abortion, school violence, child abuse, sex perversion, and the thing goes on and on. True, it's got true now. Somebody said, wait a minute, a lot of Christians get involved with some things. Yes, we admit that. We're still in a body of flesh. But God's people may do some of these things at times, but when this happens, there's a difference because there's a restraining influence in them called the Holy Spirit of God. And that Holy Spirit has been fed some by the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, that restraining influence of absolute authority by God kicks in. And that person begins to feel the hand of God, the pressure of God, begins to feel the guilt that God brings because something is wrong. And they can't stand it until they get it right. If you're truly born again. You see, Satan's program is opposite of God's program. You see, God begins with God, the Creator. Satan begins, listen to me, with the creature and wants to work his way up to where God's at. And therefore, what happens in between is made by man. Intelligent man is unreasonable in denying the truth about God. It is an unreasonable thing for anyone to look at this gigantic universe in our day we live in and think there's not a design and order. But yet, we have that. See, if you're evolution, you believe it just happened. Matter came in its own existence. It began its own self in our particular day. Jesus quoted Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 2:24 when he talked about in Matthew 4:6 the marriage. The scripture sets forth, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they become one. The historical fact about marriage can be defended in our day, biblically. Do you hear what I said? Oh, you can't defend marriage as you have traditional marriage. Yes, we can. That's the only way you can defend. You can't defend same-sex marriage. I don't care what. You can say it humanistically, but biblically you can't defend that. It's one man, one woman, over and over and over again. It's true that the Bible is true. If this is not accepted, there is no foundation for the Christian doctrine to stand upon. If this is not true, then sin can be defined any way you want to define it. If what God says about marriage is not true, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. If what God says about marriage is not true, then what God says about salvation may not be true. And I believe what he says about salvation is true. And I believe what he says about marriage is true. Why? He's God. And we have to know that's better than man in his humanistic manifesto, you see. Here only man's opinion determines truth independent of God in evolution. But with us, it's God himself. We know he is the truth. The humanistic, of course, is a religion that teaches that man is the measure of all things. There is no supernatural being to whom he were accounted to, he says. I'm just reading from the article. Man can then decide truth for himself, they say. And therefore, the humanistic manifesto is the foundation to the religious humanism. Now, here's what it said. Let me read to you. Religious humanists regard the universe as self-existent, not created. Humanism believes that a man is a part of a nature and that he has emerged from the results of a continuous process. Humanism recognizes that man's religious, culture, and civilization is clearly depicted by anthropology and history. These are the products of a gradual development due to the interaction with his natural environment and with his social heritage. In other words, we become from the Lord who we are now because our in our natural environment and our social heritage as we deal with each other, learn from each other, make laws for each other, and go this way. They go on and say, as non-theists, that means that they do not believe there's a God. They say, as non-theists, we begin with human beings, not God. We begin with nature, not deity. Nature may indeed be broader and deeper than what we know. Any new discovery, however, will enlarge our knowledge of the natural. Logically, the more this person believes there is no God, which is absolute authority. If there's no God, we don't have no absolute authority. Because you see, absolute authority means it never has to change. If my generation before had absolute authority and we changed it, they didn't have absolute authority. If we say we have absolute authority today and it's changed in the next generation, that's not absolute authority. Something's absolute, you don't change it. Oh, you don't know what the word absolute means? You see, words are thrown that confuses us sometimes. God is the absolute authority. And when he talks in this word, he's left us as for our being today. The more he believes there is no God, absolute authority, to whom is he accountable? The more he can consistently decide right and wrong for himself, he will then yield to the desires of the flesh. Now, if there is no authority and he is the authority, then why shouldn't two men marry each other, two women marry? Why is born abortion? What's wrong with taking someone's life as long as it's not in this world? And also, if man becomes his own authority, he'll justify what he does. It amazed me. I read an article this week of a Hindu that got saved. And he said his religion believed that there's one God, but he has a lot of different names and works a lot of different ways. But they believe in reincarnation. And he thought it blessed his heart in Hebrews when he found out that God says, point of the man wants to die, after that, the judgment. He got saved. He said, amazing thing, my people are wrong. The whole some seven, I'm kidding, how many millions of Hindus are. He said, I'm in that, rose in that, was raised in that. He said, when I began to see Jesus Christ and I saw the thing that got me when God said, his point of the man wants to die, after that, the judgment, after death. So that means he's not coming back as a cow or dog or something else. Amen? He's going to stand before God one day. You know, that's authority. See, I'm talking about what is authority in our lives in God's word to us today. And so as we think about these things, it makes us understand the humanists. They aim their guns at the foundation of Christianity. They attack the authority of the word of God so much that there is no doubt that they have successful they're successful in undermining the word of God in the Western culture. They have directly attacked the foundation in the book of the book of the Bible of beginnings in Genesis. When you do that, you've got the rest ought to be attacked later, because if that's not right, the rest of it's not right. And so through the education system, through the media, through many ways today, through movies, through dramas, through all the news programs and so forth, the History Channel and others, all these things come in. Evolutionary thinking is pervasive. Creation versus evolution is not a side issue. They are really the front lines of battle. But everywhere evolution is taught, you can't show design and order by creation. And so I look at these things and I thank God. The New Testament church was founded by and on the Word of God. And it is His authority. And it must be reestablished by that same word. I can't establish my own energy. I can't establish my own words. I must learn what this book says. And then if I do anything to help reestablish it, it has to be on the word of God. Evolution is like spiritual termites that destroy the creation foundation. Today, God's word has been compromised, and it's therefore has lost its power as a weapon that can give us victory in this life. We're looking for answers to things different than just believe in what God has to say. Today, it is God's word in creation versus man's opinion, which is evolution. Today, people do not think about sin like they did years ago. In evolution, ladies and gentlemen, human beings become the authority. In Christianity, God becomes the authority. In evolution, the basic book they have is the Humanistic Manifesto. In Christianity, the basic book we have is the absolute Word of God. And therefore, that is the authority that we have to go to and look at for us in this particular day. In evolution, Bible stories are just fairy tales anyway, they say. They say that people believe the stories, but they don't know why they believe them. I mean, we read about the three men thrown in the fiery furnace in Daniel's day. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know they were thrown in there, but we don't know really why. Well, I got news to you. I know why. I don't know if some of us have been stood up like they did. I'd hope I would, but I don't know. I won't dare. I'll tell you, it's easy to talk when you don't have to face death. Amen. And I'd hope we're strong enough. And some people who talk so much what they would do be very willing to go back on God. I'm glad I'm nervous enough and want to know God to help me understand what I need before I get there. Because, hey, if I don't get what I need before I get there, you and I'll do anything in a crutch and not know what's going to happen. None of us have arrived yet, Paul said, towards that mark that God has called for us. But I'd like to know he's preparing me for that day. If I ever did have to do it, I'd do just what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. And they said, King, I don't care what you say. We're not going to bow. And if we go in the furnace, that's fine. In the furnace or out of the furnace, it'll make no difference. That's the way it is with God. He's the authority. He's the authority. They see the issues. People believe the story, they say, but they don't know why. They see the issues, but not the foundation, because the true foundation is being removed from their thinking in the evolutionary human manifesto. We must, ladies and gentlemen, we must ask God to help us defend His Word rather than just learn about those beautiful Bible stories. We can learn about them and not know the meaning of them. God help us to learn about them. They're beautiful. As we are smaller and teach our children, let us get them in their heart. But let us also be able to tell them why. Why? Why? What happened to Joseph and what took place? Give them the end results as much so as the beginning of it. Those Bible stories in that. We have to ask God to help us to defend His Word. It's called contending for the faith. I'm talking about evolution destroys biblical facts or biblical truths and biblical faith. 1 Peter, turn with me, if you will, please. Now, I thank God for teachers, even public school teachers. I thank God for them because they go through a hard time. And a number of these folks teach these, and then they put their little things in there about God, and they do it the best way they can, discreetly. But it's a sad thing when they have to do something they don't like to do to keep their job at the same time. And so we need to pray for these teachers who are in these places and have them do these things. And when it's required, sometime a principal may not make it, may not say, well, you just hit the lightning, go on. But there's nothing wrong in presenting that side. What I'm saying to you, I'm not afraid of anything presenting in facts or not facts when it comes to words, as long as I have the authority of God's Word. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid someone teach me evolution, because I know where my authority is from. Amen. Now, if I back 52 years ago, it might be a little bit different. But right now, this is where the authority is from. By the way, if you didn't know nothing else coming up, you think it's right too. If we didn't have an antidote for it, we think it's right too. We have to understand, have compassion with people. A lot of people are believing things because it's the norm of our day. It's been taught everywhere except in church. And then since church don't mention it, even church people don't know about it. They just hear it through the grapevine somehow or another. And we talk about what we would do and not do. If you don't have the authority of this book, you don't know what you would do and not do. I don't either. I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't have the authority of this book. And I need to go to this book and find the scripture that can show me my authority. And I try my best. In the pulpit, I'd be pretty brave. But if I was on one-to-one, I'd try to be compassionate. Like the fellow said that time, he got in the spirit. Boy, he got to preaching up a storm, I'm telling you. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm not afraid of a man with a double-barrel shotgun the way I feel right now. And about 2 hours later, when he got to the place he was staying, he heard a door on the knock on the door, and he went and opened the door, and there stood a guy with a double barrel shotgun. And he said, what are you going to say now, preacher? He said, I only say those things when I'm in the pulpit. So, you know, it's easy to teach and say things at times, but another thing, a lot of times we better know what we're saying. And I know what I'm talking about this morning, and I hope you see that. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 3. And look down about verse... I got to find it. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look down with me, verse 15 through 17. I like this. He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that means being faithful to our commitment to Christ. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you, or as evildoers they may be ashamed, they falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. That's the way of life, your way of life in Christ. For it's better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Now watch this. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. You can't do that unless you're born again. And I got news for you. If you're saved, sanctification in your heart's not going to come automatically. That's when Paul told Timothy to study the Word to prove thyself before God. See, there's a process here. You got to get saved first before you understand sanctification, setting apart. And that's what this is doing. God is setting us apart from evolution when you study evolution and you study the Word of God. On the other hand, when you're talking about being born again, just being a child of God don't automatically give us everything. Oh, we have everything we need to go to heaven, but there's a lot of things we need here to help us live this life, folks, to be able to give an answer to these people who have these questions and so forth. And hopefully God would help us read the Word of God to hear. See, all these people hear is what they hear that someone who is an expert talks about. And they say, hey, your preacher ain't an expert. He's just a preacher. I mean, he's way down the totem pole. But our God's greater than they are. Amen. You say, well, I believe in God. Oh? Yeah, I believe in God. You believe in God and evolution too? Oh, yes, sir. Well, the Bible must be wrong then. How can you believe in God and evolution when evolution denies everything that God is? You're either believing that with the world or you believe what God has to say. There's no two ways about it. It's like saved and been saved. You're either saved or you're not. You're not halfway saved, partway saved, third way saved. You're either saved or you're not. That's the way God looks at it. And he says, he cries out to us, you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. God help us today, Lord, as we look at this subject. We're not trying to be critical. We're not trying to be harsh. We're just trying to be loving and yet factual, Lord. We have a right as much to tell our people what God has to say as the world has to tell them what God didn't say, but what humanistic manifesto says. Please help us. Lord, honor yourself today in this, in your people. Help us see people through the eyes of faith. Help us see people, dear Father, through the Word of God, and understand if they're not, know Jesus as Savior, they're lost, and pray for those people. Be burdened for those people. Try to reach those people for the cause of Christ, Lord. Give us that humbleness of heart to do that. And I know this has not been a salvation message today. This has actually been a factual message. And Lord, we preach it a lot of times in the morning time. We don't preach messages like this, but I don't know the reason. I just know the burden was here. And working on this for weeks now, and Lord, I just believe that you're going to use it somehow or another. Somewhere, somebody needed this to help them understand whatever situation they're in, who they're going to finalize and trust in. And Lord, if evolution is right, then who knows if Christ is right? The same God who tells us about who created things, the same one who tells us about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us get everything in line before you. Holy Spirit, please do your job today to convince somebody. These are just not words of rhetoric of some kind being said to have something to say. Lord, that's all I'm up here, have something to say. I can do that on the telephone. But here we're trying our best to know what it is to present. These people come this morning and invest their time in this church, Lord. Those who have been here for the last hour or 2 hours, they've come for the purpose to invest their time. Money can't buy that. God, you make me mindful of that all the time. That's the reason we need to be on time. That's the reason we need to get started right. Lord, that's the reason listen, we don't need to be lagging behind on these important things in life. So help us understand that. And realize the greatest commodity we have is our time. That's our life. May when people come here, it be invested in their life for now and eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.